In this week's edition of Talking Point, Dominic Yoon looks at the Munich Agreement 70 years after it was signed, and whether the memory of Munich has been hijacked.
Some seem to believe that we should negotiate with the terrorists and radicals as if some ingenious argument will persuade them they have been wrong all along. We have an obligation to call this what it is, the false comfort of appeasement, which has been repeatedly discredited by history.
That was US President George W. Bush speaking in front of the Israeli Knesset on May the 15th. The statement was not only controversial because it was viewed as a political attack on a fellow American, Senator Barack Obama, while away from American soil, but it also invoked an oft-used allegory, that of the appeasement of Hitler, in which British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain allowed Hitler to carve up Czechoslovakia. The injustices and futility of the so-called Munich Agreement have been brought up by politicians for their own purposes for decades. But as this exchange between host Chris Matthews and Bush supporter Kevin James on US cable television reveals, often even the most rudimentary knowledge of this crucial and painful part of Czech history is often absent.
Let me ask you, what did Chamberlain do wrong, Neville Chamberlain do wrong in 1939? What did he do wrong?
It all goes back to appeasement.
No, what did he do? Tell me what he did.
It's the key term.
You have to answer this question.
He goes,
what did he do?
It's the same thing. It puts it all, it's talking about appeasement.
What did Chamberlain do wrong?
His actions enabled, energized, legitimized. It's the exact same
thing. I'm not going to continue with this interview unless you answer what that thing is.
After several minutes of non-answers, the host finally lost his patience.
And the problem is, you don't understand there's a difference between talking to the enemy and appeasing. What Neville Chamberlain did wrong, most people would say, is not talking to Hitler, but giving him half of Czechoslovakia in 38. That's what he did wrong. Not talking to somebody.
Chris,
appeasement is giving away things to the enemy.
On 30th of September 1938, British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain returned to Britain following meetings with German leader Adolf Hitler. The meetings were designed to address concerns about German expansionism in light of the annexation of Austria, Anschluss, and increasing agitations by pro-Nazi Germans living in the Sudeten regions of Czechoslovakia. The Prime Minister came back with what was later famously described as a piece of paper, or the Munich Agreement. The terms were simple. Hitler could have the Sudeten territories of Czechoslovakia, while the fate of the rest of the Czech lands were also essentially placed under German control.
With the settlement of the Czechoslovakian problem, which has now been achieved, is, in my view, only the prelude to a larger settlement in which all Europe may find peace.
In this lay the principle of appeasement. Give Hitler something and he will want no more. Of course, the calculation was wrong, and soon after, Hitler invaded Poland. On the 9th of September 1939, Chamberlain declared war on Germany.
This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany.
Not long after, Chamberlain was replaced as Prime Minister by Winston Churchill, who had opposed appeasement from the start. Chamberlain was soon painted as a naive and foolhardy figure, and the metaphor of appeasement extended throughout the ensuing decades, from the Cold War to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, through to Lebanon, Iraq, North Korea, and then Iraq again. This is Ronald Reagan speaking in 1964.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement.
Yet, during his presidency, Reagan embarked on a course of intense dialogue with the Soviet Union. I asked political commentator Jiří Behe about whether the appeasement metaphor is used correctly today.
I don't personally think that talking with dictators is necessarily a form of appeasement. It becomes appeasement only if you are giving something and not getting something back. For example, after a period of time, the West, the United States, started talking with Gaddafi in Libya. When Bulgarian nurses were imprisoned there, there were some concrete steps that we could call appeasement. It's very difficult to draw a line here, whether it was unacceptable appeasement or whether it was something, a situation in which appeasement actually worked.
Radio Prague's David Vaughan is currently writing a book that looks at the Czech experience during World War II through the eyes of Czech radio broadcast. I asked him if he believed that the controversy surrounding the Munich Agreement was really as black and white as it is often expressed today.
Well, history, I think, is never as simple as it looks. If you look at the context of the time, just 20 years after the carnage of the First World War, another war was the last thing that most politicians in Europe and around the world wanted, and therefore they were willing to go to great lengths to avoid war. The problem with Chamberlain is that he was willing to go, in the end, I think, to any length to prevent war, and he accepted just about every demand that Hitler made of him.
As Jiří Behe recalls, this episode in Czech history was a deeply painful one, in which Czechs felt deeply betrayed by their allies in the West.
That's something that is a huge trauma in the history of Czechs and also the Slovaks. And of course, many people still think that had the Western allies not made concessions to Hitler in Munich, we would not have faced the truncation of Czechoslovakia, but also maybe there would have not been World War II. So if you talk about appeasement in the Czech context, certainly it is a very sore point.
But is it fair to use the Czechoslovak experience in today's diplomacy? And is it appropriate to compare the likes of Saddam Hussein and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to Hitler?
There are probably very fair comparisons that can be made to the kind of ambitions that some of these extremist politicians have. But I think the fundamental difference is that Hitler was at the time one of the most powerful men in the world militarily. He was at the head of a country of 80 million people in the heart of Europe. And the threat that he posed to the world was really a question of the very existence of civilization. And that is really very different. And I think that this point needs to be made again and again. So we have to be quite cautious when we draw parallels with the present day.
Depending on one's point of view, the Bush administration's location of a proposed anti-missile defense system in the Czech Republic to counter what it views as a threat from Iran is either a calculated, appropriate, or historically manipulative decision. Today, the analogy of appeasement is thus not only directed towards Iran, but also the country that once experienced its inherent flaws, except the radar or risk too being privy to appeasement. Yet some hope that with a new US president, both diplomacy and the blunt use or misuse of such analogies will become a thing of the past. I'll leave you with a segment of the inaugural speech of President John F. Kennedy from 1961.
So let us begin anew, remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness, and sincerity is always subject to proof. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.